Overview. Yeshua/Jesus did not come to promote belief in the Messiah/Christ. Neither did he come to promote the worship of Messiah/Christ. Yeshua/Jesus came to teach the people the way to become Messiah/Christ and fulfill the vision of a kingdom of priests and a holy nation of anointed Messiah/Christ. Disciples who are set aside for the service of the Most High God that Yeshua taught was the Father of all of mankind. The path of the way could not be walked by many Jews because they were carnal in their perception of the law, Torah, and could not use the key of knowledge to open the inner door to the kingdom. In like manner, the majority of the Roman and Greek followers who were too pagan to embrace the teachings of Yeshua were not interested in a life of genuine change and spiritual transformation. So they made Jesus their God so they didn't have to pick up their own cross and follow in the way. Thus, the church itself betrayed and crucified Messiah/Christ when it immersed itself in the way of the heathen and worshiped the messenger instead of imitating the pattern and example that Yeshua set as the required standard for all those who called upon the name of the Lord. The good news is that once you understand and are willing to live in accordance with the original teachings of the new covenant, the promise is that you will know the truth for yourself as you are permitted entrance into the kingdom within you. LK 17:20-21. Overview. The modern believer has embraced the church dogma that they are assured of salvation totally upon their faith, after they proclaim their allegiance to Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Yet, they ignore the fact that Paul himself totally refutes this church doctrine, which has the effect of canceling out many of the most important teachings of the Gospels. Is the person who calls themselves a Christian guaranteed salvation, as the dogma of the church promotes today? A simply reading of what is referred to as the 10-minute test will demonstrate that this doctrine of the church is totally counterfeit. Yet, because the church has thrown away the key of knowledge, they simply have no means to understand the warnings of Paul in the 10-minute test that complacent Christians are not only apostates to the Christ who crucify the Lord afresh, but that their fate is in fact even worse than that of the unbelievers. Moreover, Paul himself warned the Gentile converts that if they fail to hold fast to the gospel teachings, that they will be rejected even faster than the Jews who Jesus condemned, that is, do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Rom 11:20-21 NIV. Yet, the Gentile converts who portrayed themselves as Orthodox were so arrogant that they not only persecuted the Jews, but they condemned the original followers and disciples of Jesus as heretics, eventually hunting them down and murdering them. Because they, the Ebionites and spiritual, Gnostic, Christians, refused to accept the religion of the Emperor of Rome. And because they rejected and spilt the blood of those who possessed the key of knowledge, the church has in essence thrown away the key of knowledge. And because they are no longer able to unlock the soul and spirit of the scriptures, they remain hopelessly lost in a spiritual diaspora. Overview. To this very day, what the immature faith-based believers of a natural organic mindset have trouble in comprehending a reality that continues to plague all people who attempt to read the scriptures is the reality that the religion preached by Paul was one of spiritual transformation. Paul warned those he preached to about the written words of the scriptures, which he portrayed as the letter that killeth, the fact that those who personify themselves as Christians today are in fact clueless as to the nature and reality of this important spiritual knowledge that can only be unlocked with the proper use of the key of knowledge that the pagan church of Rome threw away, renders them totally incapable of even answering the question, why will those who gain entrance to the kingdom not be able to even attempt to convey to the believers in the church what they have seen and witnessed? To the degree that this esoteric truth, which is portrayed as things so astounding that they are beyond a man's power to describe or put in words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter, to those who have not themselves been permitted to enter the inner kingdom? Because in not having evolved through the process of spiritual transformation, these entry-level believers who Paul portrays as babes in Christ are still of a carnal mind and mindset that Paul warns. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Rom 8:7-8, 13 NKJ. Overview. When Paul warned that he could only speak to the believers at Corinth as men of flesh, as to babes in Christ, 1 Cor 3:1-S. What he was warning was that anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Heb 5:13-14 NIV. And because they are yet carnal, not having undergone the process of spiritual transformation, Paul warned that, and if anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought to know. 1 Cor 8:2-NKJ. For if man could simply open the scriptures and be able to discern the truth and the spiritual meaning of the written words of the text, Jesus would not have said of his disciples, "For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." Matt 13:17 NIV. Why did Jesus say these words? Because the majority of believers who attempted to read the scriptures literally and observe the oracles of the word in a ritualized outward manner were the counterfeit believers whose carnal mindset had spiritually disenfranchised them from the kingdom within. Overview. While the modern congregations of Christians attempt to ignore the above facts that they are incapable of understanding because of the prevailing spiritual ignorance imposed upon them in their present exile in a spiritual diaspora, they continue to reject many key teachings of the gospel that could free them from their present shackles of ignorance. Overview. Christians maintain that they are saved by faith totally apart from their actions and works, and their salvation is guaranteed from the moment they accept Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Thus, the flawed doctrine of perpetual redemption totally ignores the many statements by Paul where he warns, "For it is impossible to restore again to repentance those who then commit apostasy, since they crucify the Son of God on their own account and hold him up to contempt. For if we sin deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful prospect of judgment and a fury of fire which will consume the adversaries." Heb 6:4-6, 10:26-27 RSV. What this means is that the religion of Jesus in its original form was one of spiritual transformation, and those who willfully sin after coming to the knowledge of the gospel message crucify the Son of God afresh and in total opposition to what the churches preach. There no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful prospect of judgment and a fury of fire which will consume the adversaries. And other such spiritual concepts were totally unacceptable to the 4th century heathen Church of Rome, and while these few passages continue to exist, the scriptures were corrupted, in order to make the gospel support the doctrines of a series of Roman emperors who ruled over the church from the 4th century onward. That the church has abandoned the original teachings of Jesus to the degree that when it is proven that the 4th century church even edited and corrupted the very words of God spoken to man, means that until the church itself repents of this great sin against the Holy Spirit, they will remain under a cloud of ignorance in an exile state in a spiritual diaspora. What does the apostle of faith say? To the Romans he warns, "Do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God, sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off." Rom 11:20-22 NIV. Overview. Because the Christians entered into a covenant with pagan Rome installing the emperor as the head of the church and in a state of absolute arrogance, hunted down and murdered all who did not accept the religious doctrines of the emperor, even editing and corrupting the very words of God spoken to mankind, the church has not only been cut off, but the Christians themselves dwell in a spiritual diaspora under the cloud of spiritual ignorance. Overview. While the churches preach that if you call upon the name of the Lord, that Jesus will never leave you regardless of your actions and lifestyle in this life, Paul warns that if you turn back to the ways of this world, that you should not only be afraid, but that as a Christian you will be cut off, and the blood of the Lamb will be a fury of fire which will consume you as an adversary to the core gospel teachings. And what this means is that if you call upon the name of the Lord in the manner that the churches preach today, and you then knowingly sin, you not only commit apostasy and yourself crucify the Son of God on their own account and hold him up to contempt, but as an apostate to the new covenant, Paul warns that there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. If we ask the question, did Paul really mean that the sacrifice on the cross is canceled for those who knowingly sin after calling upon the name of the Lord? This is confirmed in the words of Paul when he wrote, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death, or of obedience leading to righteousness? Rom 6, 1-16 NKJ. Overview. Peter warns that Christians are worse off than the unbelievers. How can Peter warn that the fate of complacent Christians is in fact worse off than those who had never come into contact with the gospel message? The words of Peter are so contrary to modern-day belief that these words should literally haunt every person who calls themselves a Christian believer. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it, and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Of them the Proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a sow that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. 2 Pet 2:20-22 NIV. Where the modern church promotes the doctrine that they are saved by grace regardless of the manner in which they live their lives, Peter not only states that this doctrine is in grave error, but correctly states that it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it, and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Every Christian should ask themselves. Christians promote the doctrine that only those who believe can be saved, and here Peter is stating the opposite is true, and that those people who claim to believe will in fact be worse off after they have come to believe than before they began to believe. The shepherds and blind guides that Peter is making reference to are those who preach the modern doctrine of perpetual sin that is promoted in churches today. That is, this is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the sinful nature. 2 Peter 2:10 NIV. Because these false shepherds fail to understand the reality of what Jesus meant when he used the terms whole and complete. They preach the promise of freedom in their doctrine of salvation by faith and grace alone, while they themselves are slaves of depravity in what can only be in total opposition to what Christians today believe. Peter states that it would have been better for the entry-level believers to have never heard of the gospel than to have heard and then fall prey to the false shepherds who promise freedom but blindly lead the believers into the proverbial ditch. Overview. And there is simply no means for the modern Christian who believes the doctrines of the church to even begin to understand what Peter is making reference to. Overview. Cast out of the bosom of Christ. In order to make the Gospels support the doctrines of 4th century pagan Rome, when the faction of the church which called itself Orthodox entered into a covenant relationship with the heathen Emperor Constantine, important spiritual teachings had to be removed. In a surviving excerpt of what has been historically known as the Gospel according to the Hebrews, which was reported to be the original version of Matthew that was composed in the Hebrew characters, it was written, "If ye be in my bosom, and do not the will of my Father which is in heaven, out of my bosom will I cast you away." In the late 19th century, a library of scriptures was uncovered, which is today known as the Oxyrhynchus Papyri, wherein this verse is found reading, "Though ye be gathered together with me in my bosom, if ye do not my commandments, I will cast you forth." This same verse of scripture is quoted in what is historically known as the Second Epistle of Clement, where it is written, "Let us, then, not only call him Lord, for that will not save us. For he saith, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall be saved, but he that worketh righteousnesses. For this reason the Lord hath said, even though ye were gathered together to me in my very bosom, yet if ye were not to keep my commandments, I would cast you off, and say unto you, depart from me. I know you not whence ye are, ye workers of iniquity." What these verses mean is that if you continue to sin after coming to Messiah/Christ, that you are an apostate to the teachings of the way, and there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful prospect of judgment, and a fury of fire which will consume the adversaries. Overview. because of Christian ignorance, the reality of the soul, and the mysteries of the kingdom. Perhaps even more important to the sincere Christian seeker who is attempting to escape the shackles of Roman church doctrine is the version of this verse that has been preserved in what has come to be known as the Gospel of the Nazarenes, where it reads, "Though you be gathered together in my bosom, if you keep not my commandments, I will cast you forth. For if you keep not the lesser mysteries, who shall give you the greater?" Why is this version of this saying so important? Because the Christian world itself is proof of its validity. The inner spiritual meaning of the scriptures, the knowledge of the soul, and what Paul portrayed as the knowledge of the mysteries of the kingdom of God, see mystery. And even the reality and meaning of the life that each person is presently living can only be revealed and understood by those who have prepared themselves to be a final temple, which is a foundational gospel objective of Jesus' teachings. By using Jesus as a pagan mojo, that is, as a license to sin in the manner that the churches preach openly crucifying the Son of God afresh by virtue of a cultural mindset and worldly lifestyle, the Christian world is proof positive of the reality of this important teaching. In fact, once understood, the fact that most Christians do not know the previous lifetimes that their soul has lived is proof that they have been cast from the bosom of Messiah/Christ, and because they presently dwell in a spiritual diaspora, they remain in what Jesus portrayed as the prison, see prison, and slash, or what Jesus portrayed as the outer darkness of mind and being, see outer darkness. Overview. Judgment of those who drink from the cup of the Lord unworthily. The counterfeit leaders and shepherds who presently guide the congregations will attempt to tell you that sinners have been saved by the blood of the Lord by the cup of salvation, and yet Paul warns that those who eat the body and drink from the cup of the Lord and continue to sin eat and drink judgment and damnation unto themselves, that is. Paul warns, "Therefore whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." 1 Cor 11:27-30 NKJ. What Paul is warning is that an unworthy or complacent Christian who attempts to eat the bread and drink the cup of the gospel new covenant invoke the laws which render them weak and sick among you, and many sleep. This sleep is the spiritual hardening of their hearts and minds that imprisons the congregation of believers in a spiritual diaspora and is demonstrated in the blindness of the Christian world to the true meaning of the very scriptures which they champion. Overview. Blindness of those who lay under the sway of Satan. The above is confirmed in one of the existing alternate endings of the Gospel of Mark, which is portrayed as the authentic ending by early church authorities. And what this means is that the religion of Jesus in its original form was one of spiritual transformation, and those who willfully sin crucify the Son of God afresh. And in the warning of Paul, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful prospect of judgment, and a fury of fire which will consume the adversaries. This is why Paul stated with respect to those who call themselves Christian and continue to live a sinful life, "But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." Gal 2:17-18 KJV, which confirms the alternate ending of the Gospel of Mark, which reads, "This age of lawlessness and unbelieving lies under the sway of Satan, who will not allow what lies under the unclean spirits to understand the truth and power of God. Therefore, they said to Christ, 'Reveal your righteousness now.' Christ answered them, 'The term of years for Satan's power has now expired, but other terrors are at hand. I was delivered to death on behalf of sinners, that they might return to the truth and sin no more, that they might inherit that glory of righteousness which is spiritual and imperishable in heaven.'" Moffat, quoting Gospel of Mark in Codex W, also quoted by St. Jerome as being the authentic ending of the Gospel of Mark. Thus, Jesus warned those who would call upon the Lord and expect to have earned salvation. "But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" Luke 6:46 NKJ. And, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Matt 7:21 NIV. That the very people who with their lips proclaim themselves to believe continue to lie under the sway of Satan, or, In the words of John, "Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning." 1 John 3, 7-8 NKJV. And if we ask, what did Jesus say the requirements were? Overview. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you salute only your brethren, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Matt 5:43-48 RSV. In not understanding how this requirement of perfection can be fulfilled, or even how Jesus fulfilled the royal law within himself in order to achieve this perfected state, the Christian world remains spiritually disenfranchised and totally alienated from the knowledge of the kingdom which Jesus taught was within them. And thus, while they should be anointed and all-knowing, they remain shackled to what Jesus said was the outer darkness of mind and being that is. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. See Matt 8:12, 22:13, 25:30 NKJV. Because the modern Christian world ignores these many warnings in the scriptures. And in their mindset and lifestyle, they crucify the Son of God daily. They dwell in a spiritual diaspora where the higher knowledge of the mysteries of God remain an enigma to their understanding, failing to comprehend the reality of the words spoken directly to them by Peter that they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than to have known it, and then to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. Overview. All who call upon the name of the Lord. From a modern perspective, the whole of Christians' doctrine is based upon the statements of Paul that the Gentile believers are saved by faith regardless of the above warnings, by the same Paul that if they continue to sin after coming to Messiah/Christ, that they are apostates to the Son of God who will receive the fiery judgments which will consume them, and to the exclusion of these many gospel warnings. They base the whole of their dogma on the statement in the Epistle to the Romans that, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Rom 10:13 KJV. Yet, to their own demise. The meaning of the statement to call upon the name of the Lord in no manner cancels out the above warnings and statements by the same author. And to call must be within the context of the parable of the call to the wedding feast. See the call. In the parable, those who were invited to the wedding feast were those who had called upon the name of the Lord. In the parable, the called ones continued to embrace the ways, the thinking and lifestyle of this world, and did not live their lives from the perspective of the requirement to pick up their own cross and follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Thus, Jesus commanded and said, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Luke 6:46 KJV. And this is why Jesus warned those who would call themselves his followers and believers. "And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." Matt 10:38-39 NKJ. The requirement that has been set forth is that ye shall therefore be holy, for I am holy. Lev 11:45 KJV. In the words of Gregory, Bishop of Nyssa, it is imperative on all those who have an equally earnest desire for the good as he has, to be followers by the path of an exact imitation of him who leads the way to salvation, and to carry into action what he has shown them. It is, in fact, impossible for persons to reach the same goal unless they travel by the same ways. And this is why the requirement was set forth by Jesus with respect to his disciples and followers. You, therefore, must be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Matt 5:48 RSV. Overview. Only those who become the good ground in the parable of the sower and the seed are able to fulfill the requirement set forth in the parable of the call or the wedding feast. See the call. While those who were called, but remained living in the way of this world, inherited the fate that Paul portrays above, that is, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful prospect of judgment, and a fury of fire which will consume the adversaries. And this is confirmed in the parable where the chosen ones met with the above promised fate of destruction. Matt 22:7. Even those who did come and failed to have put on the required wedding garment of purity were cast out into the outer darkness of mind and being, that is. Bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, for many are called, but few are chosen. Matt 22:12-14 NKJV. And it is in this outer darkness of mind and being that Jesus warned about, which is the spiritual diaspora of ignorance in which the modern church presently dwells, that inhibits them from acquiring the knowledge of the true spiritual meaning of the scriptures, as well as the knowledge of the soul and what Paul portrayed as the higher mysteries of the kingdom, see mystery, that could only be known by those who fulfilled the requirement of the good ground in the parable of the sower and the seed, and therefore put on the required wedding garment in the parable of the call. That the modern Christian world, which is founded upon the dogma of pagan Rome, bases their whole concept of the gospel on calling upon the Lord with their lips while ignoring all of the above teachings and warnings, makes applicable the words of Jesus. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Mark 7:6-7 NKJV. Overview. Fate of most Christians worse than that of the unbelievers. What we see portrayed in these important words is the original meaning of the doctrine that Jesus made himself a sacrifice for sinners, that is, that they might return to the truth and sin no more. On the other hand, the great truth that is clearly presented in the reality that those who continue to sin after coming to the knowledge of the gospel commit apostasy and crucify the Son of God on their own account and hold him up to contempt. And contrary to the pagan doctrines adopted by the church, Paul warns that there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful prospect of judgment and a fury of fire which will consume the adversaries. And while Peter warns in the above that the fate of complacent believers who continue to sin after coming to the knowledge of the gospel is worse off than before they learned of the good news, the modern Christian world has become so spiritually disenfranchised that they are incapable of understanding these original foundational gospel teachings and concepts. Why? Because what is preached in the churches today has relatively little in common with what Jesus actually taught. And in truth, modern Christian doctrine is founded upon the religious principles of pagan Rome, see the Christian Judas, than what Yeshua actually taught. How can this be? A person will ask. Quite contrary to modern Christian doctrine where all believers are saved, it is very clearly demonstrated in the scriptures that believers who do not live in accordance with the commandments of the Lord will be punished more severely than the non-believer. This truth is demonstrated in the words, that servant who knows his master's will and does not get ready or does not do what his master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Luke 12:47-48 NIV. What Jesus is stating to the reader is that believers who do not fulfill the commandments will be punished more than those who do not know the will of God. Overview. The evidence has proven that when the scriptures were given to the Gentiles, they immediately began to corrupt them, see Bible corruption, and misinterpret the meaning because they did not possess the necessary key of knowledge. And this prompted James to write in the epistle of Peter and James, hear me, brethren and fellow servants. If we should give the books to all indiscriminately, and they should be corrupted by any daring men, or be perverted by interpretations, as you have heard that some have already done, it will remain even for those who really seek the truth, always to wander in error. Wherefore it is better that they should be with us, and that we should communicate them with all the forementioned care to those who wish to live piously, and to save others. The fact is attested to that the Ebionite/Nazarene disciples of Jesus did not give the Gentiles the most spiritual scriptures, that is, in the words of Saint Jerome, a difficult work is enjoined, since this translation has been commanded me by your Felicities, which Saint Matthew himself, the apostle and evangelist, did not wish to be openly written. For if it had not been secret, he would have added to the evangel that which he gave forth was his. But he made up this book sealed up in the Hebrew characters, which he put forth even in such a way that the book, written in Hebrew letters and by the hand of himself, might be possessed by the men most religious, who also, in the course of time, received it from those who preceded them. But this very book they never gave to anyone to be transcribed, and its text they related some one way and some another. This secret, more spiritual version of the Book of Matthew was referred to by Gibbon, where he wrote, "But the secret and authentic history has been recorded in several copies of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, which these sectaries long preserved in the original Hebrew, as the sole evidence of their faith." Overview. Why would it be written by James and Peter that if this essential knowledge was lost, that it will remain even for those who really seek the truth, always to wander in error? Why couldn't believers merely read the scriptures and know the truth? For many of the very same reasons why Paul warned that the believers of a natural organic mind will look upon the mysteries of God as foolishness. Why Paul warned that those who knew the truth by virtue of their inner spiritual experiences were not permitted to tell others what they witnessed in the kingdom, that is, things so astounding that they are beyond a man's power to describe or put in words, and after they gaze upon these mysteries, what they have witnessed will be of such a profound nature that they will not be allowed to tell them to others. 2 Cor 12, 4 TLB. Why the Jews were condemned.